America Vasyasata Prasiti
Vaktin Vasindanabham Anugamascha
Vansandinanabham Anugamascha
Tamaya Savrita Chitashvam
Tamaya Savrita Chitashvam
Vashantinanam Vashitoyam
Vashantinanam Vashitoyam
Tvam, O Lord, you, O Lord, Eka, being one without a second, you are everything. Eva, indeed, Asya Sattha, of this cosmic manifestation now visible. Prasuti, the original source, from your lordship, Sanidhanam, the conservation of all energy, when everything is annihilated, from your lordship, Anugrahacha, the maintainer, Tat Maya, by your illusory external energy, Samrita Chaitasaha, those whose intelligence is covered by such illusory energy, Tvam, unto you, Pashanti, observe, Nana, many varieties, Na, not, Vipaschitaha, learned scholars or devotees, yea, who are. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The efficient cause of this material world, manifested with its many varieties, as the original tree, is you. You're also the maintainer of this material world. And after annihilation, you are the one in whom everything is conserved. Those who are covered by your external energy cannot see you beyond this manifestation. But theirs is not the vision of learned devotees. Purport. Various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, are supposed to be the creator, maintainer, annihilator of this material world. But actually, they are not. The fact is that everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifested in varieties of energy. Ekam eva vidhiyam brahma. There is no second existence. Those who are truly vipaschit, learned, are those who have reached the platform of understanding and observing the personality of Godhead in any condition of life. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santak sadaiva ridyeshu valokayanti Brahma Samhita 5:38. Learned devotees accept even conditions of distress as representing the presence of the Supreme Lord. When a devotee is in distress, he sees that the Lord has appeared as distress, just to relieve or purify the devotee from the contamination of the material world. While one is within the material world, one is in various conditions. And therefore a devotee sees a condition of distress as but another feature of the Lord. Tatenukampam susamikshamanaha. The Bhagavatam 10:14:8. A devotee therefore regards distress as a great favor of the Lord, because he understands that he is being cleansed of contamination. Tesham aham samudarta mrityu samsara sagara. The Bhagavad Gita 12:7. The appearance of distress is a negative process intended to give the devotee relief from this material world, which is called Mrityu Samsara, or the constant repetition of birth and death. To save a surrendered soul from repeated birth and death, the Lord purifies him of the contamination by offering a little distress. So that's like the fourth time Prabhupada's repeated that. In seven sentences, Prabhupada's repeated that. So anyone can remember what Prabhupada just said? Four times. It looks like you know Nitya Seva Devadasi. Because the devotee is in distress, he purifies him? Is that what it said?
Yeah, if a devotee is in distress, the devotee sees the Lord. Pollution is like that. He sees that this is Lord's seva.
Seva, it's the Lord's service. Uh-huh. Seva? What's that?
It's like purifying the devotee.
Yes, that's right. Yes, the Lord puts the devotees in distress so he can purify him.
And
to what? Relieve him of distress. Okay. He puts him in distress to relieve him of distress.
There was one out there that I saw.
Which is ultimately relieving one of distress. Because the contamination is where our stress comes from, klesha agni. Well, after four times at least we got something. We got it. It's good. So maybe probably mention it four more times, just in case we forget. The appearance of distress is a negative process intended to give the devotees relief from this material world, which is called mrityu samsara, or the constant repetition of birth and death. To save a surrendered soul from repeated birth and death, Lord purifies him of contamination by offering him a little distress. So if anyone complains, then go to the Lord and tell him, I don't want to be relieved from the birth and death. I want to stay here forever. Stop this distress. Stop trying to purify me. This cannot be understood by a non-devotee. But a devotee can see this because he is vipassachit, or learned. So when we hear the word devotee, do we automatically assume we're devotees and that we're learned? That we see all this? Well, yes and no. Because to some extent we will be able to see it. And to some extent we're aspiring to become devotees. If we're devotees, our hearts would be just filled with love for Krishna and everyone. That's real devotion. Right now, if I look at my heart, it's not exactly overflowing with love and compassion and everything else. I'm just lucky it's still beating. What to speak of being overflowed with love and devotion? A non-devotee is perturbed in distress. The devotee welcomes distress as another feature of the Lord. So how many of us welcome distress? Ah, distress. How fantastic. Just bring it on more and more. I'm not suffering enough, my Lord. Please help me. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. A devotee can actually see that there's only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no second entity. Ekam eva vityam. There is only the Lord who presents himself in different energies. Persons who are not in real knowledge think that Brahma is the creator, Vishnu the maintainer, and Shiva the annihilator, that the different demigods are intended to fulfill diverse purposes. Thus they create diverse purposes and worship various demigods to have these purposes fulfilled. Kamaistaistaridhyana prapadyante nidevata. A devotee, however, knows that these various demigods are but different parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that these parts need not to be worshipped. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:23, Yep yanya devata bhakta yajante shariyanvita Tepi mam eva kuntiya yajantiya vidipurvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but is offered without true understanding. There is no need to worship the demigods. Anyone who's worshiping the demigods here, you don't have to do it. For this is avidhi, not an order. Simply by surrendering oneself at the lotus feet of Krishna, one can completely discharge one's duties. There is no need to worship various deities or demigods. These various divinities are observed by the mudhas, fools, who are bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Trivira gunamayara bhavara evik sarvamidam jagat. Such fools cannot understand that the real source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mohitam nabhijananti mame bhyakparam avyam. Not being disturbed by the Lord's various features, one should concentrate upon and worship the Supreme Lord. Mame kama sharanam vraja. This should be the guiding principle of one's life. Pretty straightforward. Could you imagine going to an Indian Hindu meeting and reading this verse? Especially go to one of these Indian temples, when they have Hindu temples, they have all the gods on the altar, 55 gods representing the 33 million demigods. And you read this verse, you're all fools and rascals. But that's what they are. They're all fools and rascals. And we're also, to a certain extent, a fool and a rascal. So if they say, well, what are you saying? I say, well, we're not saying it. Krishna's saying it. We're innocent. We're just repeating Krishna. And besides that, you have Krishna on the altar, so you can't deny everything he's saying. So he's saying you're all fools and rascals. So he'll probably take the deity of Krishna and take him off the altar. Because they're fools and rascals. The efficient cause, translation again. The efficient cause of this material world, manifested with its many varieties as the original tree, is you. O Lord, you're also the maintainer of this material world, and after annihilation, you are the one in whom everything is conserved. Those who are covered by your external energy cannot see you behind this manifestation, but theirs is not the vision of learned devotees. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskadyade Siddharna. All our Vedic, all our literatures connect everything with Krishna, so that when everything is connected with Krishna, that's called Krishna consciousness. Sarabhutastam Atmanam Sarabhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yukta Atma Sarvatra Samadarshana Yomam Pashiti Sarvatra Sarvam Chamami Pashiti Tasyaham Na Pranashami Na Chame Na Pranashiti. That the true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, or is he ever lost to me? So if we examine every verse in the Bhagavad Gita, it's always leading to the same conclusion, that there's nothing but Krishna. In other words, if we accept that everything we're experiencing is actually, as a devotee at least, when we're engaged in devotional service especially, is a direct relationship with Krishna. That nothing is really apart from Krishna. Of course, if we're not engaged in Krishna's service at any time, then we can't say that it's a direct relation with Krishna. It means that we're experiencing the reactions for our previous sinful activities. But as soon as we accept devotional service and do what Krishna wants us to do, then we should understand we're under the protection of the divine energy. And even though that divine energy may sometimes present itself in a disturbing way, then still it's Krishna's mercy upon us to purify us. Because if we did the wrong thing, like Ravana, Ravana wanted to send, he wanted to build a staircase to heaven, and everyone who's impious and sinful, they would take that staircase and go to heaven, and everyone who's pious, they'd go to hell. He wanted to disturb the world order, the universal order, because he was a demon. But it didn't happen like that. So the point is that Dukeshu Vamanagmanak Sukeshu Vigatas Priha Vita Raga Vayakroda Stitidiramuni Uchite. So there's always an order of what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and that understanding the order is very helpful. Because Arjuna was asking, what is the symptom of a person who's self-realized? So Krishna takes it step by step. Arjuna is actually asking, how does he sit, and how does he walk, and how does he talk, and what is his language? Of course he speaks Hindi or Sanskrit, but that's another thing. So Krishna was asking, what is the symptoms? Arjuna was asking. So Krishna didn't say, well, he's sick, he sits with his back straight, he talks Sanskrit, he dresses in saffron. Krishna didn't say that. He says, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmani vatmanap tushta stita pragyasta tochite. That prajahati, one who gives up all desires born of mental concoction and his mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, he's said to be situated in perfect knowledge. So what is our real problem? Our real problem is that we're following desires which are born of mental concoction. What does mental concoction mean? That we're doing something which Krishna doesn't want us to do. And it's not authorized. And what does it mean if we're outside, if we don't think Krishna has appointed me to discharge this particular duty? It means, number one, we haven't really accepted everything here belongs to Krishna, that it's all Krishna's energy. And therefore we think some of this energy can be utilized for my happiness, for my service. And if we do accept that everything belongs to Krishna, the symptom is we inquire from Guru, from Sadhu, from Shastra, confirmed by the Super Soul in the heart, what does Krishna want me to do right now, right at this moment? And if we humbly, seriously inquire, then it becomes clear what Krishna wants us to do. And we don't know what to do, then we should write down everything that we think we should be doing and then examine it and see what order this probably should be done in. If we're actually serious, even right now, to discover what Krishna wants us to do, then Krishna will didami bhuti yogam tam. He'll give us the intelligence what he wants us to do. We just have to become inquisitive, humbly. Not that I know everything, I know exactly what I want to do. It may not be what Krishna wants me to do, but I don't really care what Krishna wants me to do. I want to do what I want to do. And then later on, of course, I'll do the things that Krishna wants me to do. But first, let me clear away all the things I want to do, and then later on I'll do what Krishna wants me to do. First a little boga, and then a little prasad. No, if we inquire, then if we don't know, then we write down everything we think Krishna wants us to do, everything we know we have to do, and then inquire for Krishna within the heart, what order do you want me to do it in? It's called using our intelligence. Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishto matakasmitir jnana apoanam cha. That we may take credit for our intelligence and our memory, and even the fact that I can forget about all the crazy things I've done in the past. But actually it's all being done by Krishna. He's supplying these things to us according to how we desire and how we deserve. If we desire to please Krishna, then Krishna will provide us a certain type of intelligence. And if we don't want to please Krishna, Krishna will provide us another type of intelligence. But ultimately we're 100%, 24 hours a day, completely dependent upon Krishna for everything. Even to lift my hand up, I'm depending upon Krishna. But I don't give Krishna the credit. And that's the problem. But when I start seeing things in relation to Krishna, then I get closer to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, one gives up things born of mental concoction. Nothing, well, it may have something to do with Krishna, but it may not be exactly what Krishna wants me to do. So it's there, Krishna will help me, because at least if it's in relation with Krishna, then there will be some help, but it may not be the priority of Krishna. Krishna is very patient. He waits for us to have a sincere desire to actually inquire from him, what would you actually like me to do? What is your priority? That's called sincerity. Now, if we don't write down everything we're supposed to be doing, that we know we're supposed to be doing, then we just, whatever we feel like doing, we'll do that. It's good also, if it's done for Krishna especially. If it's not, then it won't be so helpful. But if it's done for Krishna, that's nice. But we do a lot of things that don't really help our advancement as much as if we actually do what was important at that time, which was our priority. So, for instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he has his priorities when it comes to the material world. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tadispritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavam yuge yuge. Krishna actually has a plan when he comes. He doesn't come here and look around and see, you know, what can I do today? What's there to eat? Where's a nice place to sleep? What kind of sports can I play? No, Krishna doesn't do it. He has a plan, and he bases his whole schedule around that plan. And of course, Krishna is never disturbed, but even something comes along, he makes it part of his plan. Because he sees everything in relation to himself. When Krishna was in Dwaraka, and he was in the assembly, and they're discussing with King Ugrasena and the other Yadavas what they should do today. So then Narada Muni comes, the doorkeeper introduces Narada Muni, Krishna puts him on the seat, and then the Narada Muni says, well, Krishna says, well, what's going on? You've been all over the universe lately. You go everywhere. What's the news? So he says, Yudhisthira Maharaj is going to do a Rajasuya sacrifice. As Mother Devaki said, Krishna doesn't need the internet. The internet comes to him. He knows, he gets the information direct from the source. Eyewitness reports. So Narada Muni says he's going to do the Rajasuya, and he'd like you to come, because he's going to proclaim that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead to everyone. And especially people are fearful because they're afraid if they become a devotee of Krishna, Krishna yasyanu granami karishe tadanai shanai. He's going to take everything away, and this is people's greatest fear. I'm going to go to Krishna, and instead of Krishna giving me everything I ask for, he's going to take everything away. He's a greedy fellow. Although he owns everything, he also wants what I have. But I'm going to prove that if you become an actual, sincere devotee of Krishna, Krishna will give you everything you want, everything more than you can hope for. So he said, well, that seems like a good idea. And then suddenly someone else at the door, I forget the order, maybe the first one was the representatives of the kings who were imprisoned by Jarasandha. And he comes in and says, my dear Lord, Jarasandha is harassing your devotees. We'd like you to come and save them. Jarasandha is a demon. So Krishna checks Bhagavad Gita and says, yeah, these are part of my purposes. I'm supposed to protect the devotees, and I like the miscreants. Check, check. Yeah, oh, that's what I'll do today. That's what we'll do. Because he asks Uddhava, who checks with the Bhagavad Gita also, yeah, Krishna, you're here to protect the pious, annihilate the miscreants and establish religious principles. Sure, these two things are part of your purposes. so you can do them. So that's what we have to check with. If what we're doing is in relation to Krishna, then it's devotional service, if it's part of Krishna's purposes. And the further away it's from Krishna's purposes, like I just have to go and see this movie because it's spiritual, Avatar 2. Avatar 2, probably, I haven't seen it. But it's probably not part of Krishna's purposes. The heroes and all these movies don't annihilate the demons. They're made by demons. They don't protect the pious. They're meant to deviate the pious. And they don't establish religious principles. So they're so far removed from anything spiritual, we can't check it off. Yes, it's part of Krishna's purpose. That's what we should do. But it is part of Krishna's purpose. Then the result is that we'll naturally, if we do it to please Krishna, this activity, then we'll think about Krishna. We'll see it in relation to Krishna. Otherwise, how is it possible to see things in relation to Krishna? It's not possible because Krishna won't give us the intelligence to see it in relation to Krishna, because we've given up Krishna's shelter. We've gone outside of Krishna's shelter. But the problem is we're used to being outside of Krishna's shelter. Maya seems a very nice warm shelter, especially when it's cold in your room. You have a nice blanket over you, and the alarm clock, that you didn't set the alarm clock, and everything's nice and cozy. Maya seems a very pleasant shelter. Tomorrow I'll see the deities. Right now I'm taking shelter of my bed. Instead of being attached to Krishna, we're attached to our bed. Krishna is a shelter we can give up, but not my attachment to my bed. That's too much. So gradually we have to learn to get shelter of Krishna. And when there is distress, even while performing devotional service, we take it as Krishna's mercy. We can see it as Krishna's mercy, and therefore we can remain optimistic. We can remain enthusiastic, because that's the main thing that we're trying to change, is our attitude. Without our attitude based upon our Krishna consciousness. Because we can chant Hare Krishna, and maybe if we're committing the 10 offenses, we don't get much experience of what the holy name is. But when we have the right attitude, when we're chanting, we're happily chanting, we're calling out to Krishna like a baby, then Krishna appears within our mind. Srimati Radharani and their associates appear within our mind, and we can actually experience the happiness of Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna, bhakti mam abhijananti, yavan yasrasmi tatvataha, Tomam tatvato gyatva vishite tadanantaram. Krishna only appears according to our bhakti, according to our enthusiasm, according to our determination to stay steadily engaged in Krishna's service. Only to that proportion does Krishna appear within our consciousness. So if we keep a happy disposition, it's all coming from Krishna, I'm doing Krishna's service, and whatever he gives me, like the chikara bird, either the cloud sends it water to quench its thirst, because it's completely dependent on the cloud, or it sends a thunderbolt to strike it. The chikara bird cannot give up his dependency upon the cloud. So one who's dependent upon Krishna, even there's distress, the distress becomes an opportunity to concentrate more upon Krishna. And that's the most important thing in our lives, to concentrate upon Krishna, even in difficulty. There can't be anything more important than that, because at the time of death, which is the most difficult moment for anyone, if we can concentrate upon Krishna, then our life is successful. So the devotee, when he's performing proper devotional service, he's setting his priorities in relation to Krishna, he's doing something to please Krishna. If there's distress, he doesn't think, oh my God, I'm doing it for you, Krishna. I tried so hard. I'm trying to please you. And what do? You're in charge of everything. You send me distress? Forget it. I'm going back to my mom. She loves me. No, we have to be conscious of what our goal is. Our goal is that even at the time of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. And for that, we have to give up this idea that I'm here in the material world to be happy. I'm here to become comfortable. I'm here to make a success of this life by becoming famous and wealthy and secure and everything else. We have to give up that idea and think that actually the goal of my life is to remain Krishna conscious in happiness and in distress. And that's only the beginning. Because then, to go quickly through the verses, then Krishna says, even things are going badly outside, so many things are going on, the whole world is falling apart. We think it's all right. Krishna's arranged it. It's no problem. And even Krishna sends us something that we want or something we don't want. What's the verse about the tortoise? Anyone into tortoise versus you? Yidasam harite chanyam kormanga niva sarvasha indriyar niriyar tebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. One is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects as the tortoise draws his limbs within the shell is said to be situated in perfect knowledge. So then if one is undisturbed by material circumstances, one is undisturbed by one's own circumstances, one can at the proper time withdraw the senses within the shell and not become involved in the material world. One only becomes involved in the material world when it's necessary for Krishna's service. And what is the result? Vishayani vinivartante nirasya dehinam rasavardam rasopyasya paramdrishva nivartate. Then if one is experiencing Krishna, if Krishna sees we go through the process and we're sincere to follow it, then Krishna reveals himself and we get a higher taste. We get the experience of the blissful association with Krishna and his devotees. And then we can give up. We can give up our temptations to enjoy the material world diminished, at least. So this is repeated throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Don't be upset if things go wrong, and don't be elated when things go right. But simply remain fixed in Krishna. When things go right, try to utilize the opportunity for more service. And when things go wrong, just tolerate and try to do the best we can under the circumstances. And know we're being trained so we can go back to the kingdom of God. And eventually, if we do that, then in every circumstance, we'll see Krishna everywhere. We'll see everyone is going through the same problems in the material world that we're going through. We're not the only one under the material energy who's learning these lessons. And we're not the only ones having the opportunity to be in the spiritual energy and taking shelter of Krishna. This is universal, going on throughout the whole universes. And we're simply one of the students in this material world learning to take shelter of Krishna so we can see him everywhere, all the time, in any circumstance. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, tell me, does absolutely every distress we get come from Krishna?
Tatenu kampam su samikshamana bunjane vakritam vipakam. The devotee knows that if he's feeling distress, he takes it as part of his reaction to his sinful activities in the past. But Krishna is only giving, for the devotee who's engaged in devotional service, Krishna is only giving him a fraction of what he actually deserves, just so he can learn the lesson that the distress is supposed to teach us. And then when the devotee learns the lesson, then Krishna purifies the devotee. And then the distress diminishes. But if one is sinful, then the distress is to not coming from Krishna, it's coming from our own sinful activities. Of course, Krishna controls the material nature, but he doesn't interfere with the laws of material nature. If you stick your hand in the fire, the law of material nature is it's going to get burnt. Can't blame Krishna for putting your hand in the fire. Why? I was just walking along, put the hand on the fire. Why did you send the distressed? Krishna said, well, why did you put your hand in the fire? I had nothing else to do, you know. So. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. My question is, the objective of this life to achieve a goal.
Yes.
And to achieve a goal, we need to give ourselves, like, surrender to the goal.
Yes, first we have to find out what the goal
right.
is.
And but I don't understand, like, I like to understand more on that. That
well, if you'd like to understand more, do you have a Bhagavad
yes,
Gita?
Yes, I have a Bhagavad Gita.
Do you read it regularly?
I read it, not regularly. But I travel a lot, but when I get a chance, definitely. In the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it says that you need to do the meditation to understand more on the goal.
Which Bhagavad Gita do you have? This translation?
The same one that you have. Okay. This is called Dhyan Yoga.
Dhyana Yoga.
Yeah, the sixth chapter.
Yeah.
So, two things that we have. One is the chanting and second is meditation.
The chanting and the meditation are the same. That's our meditation.
That's our meditation?
Well, the chanting is Krishna and His name and I'm different. Plus, we have the spiritual energy there. So, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, then if we do it offenselessly, then the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna will gradually appear within our minds. And that's called meditation.
Yeah, explain in the Bhagavad Gita that how to do the meditation, that you need to concentrate, close your eyes, how they
no,
give you the posture
have
answer.
Have you read the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita?
I'm till sixth now.
Well, read the next verse. Then it'll tell you.
It will answer me all my questions.
Maya saktamanat partha yogam yunjan manashaya asam shayam samagramam yatagyasasi tachshanu. Now hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with the mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So the chapters 7 through 12 will tell you how to meditate on Krishna.
Okay, thank you.
Read those.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Anything else? Hvala, Granta Rai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.